Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. The tax bill passed. Stock market is booming. Unemployment is down. Home sales are up. Consumer confidence is up. Your pension is safe. Keep spending. Keep borrowing. Merry Christmas. Now, if you were to ask, what does all that have to do with Christmas? You would be right. That is the right question to ask. Our service today is called a festival. And I think you know where the word festival comes from. It comes from the word feast. You see, the two sound very similar. And it's a celebration. And this isn't something that is new. In fact, the roots of these festivals go all the way back to the Old Testament. God gave his people festivals, times of celebration, times when they broke away from the ordinary to create something quite extraordinary and different. Very elaborate customs, and if you read through the Old Testament, you'll be amazed at all the detail of these festivals, what they were to do, what they were not to do. And one of the primary purposes of these festivals was to raise questions, especially for children. I don't know if you were aware of that, but most of the festivals were designed so that the children would say, why are we doing that? Why are we doing this? Why is it different? And in fact, the liturgy of the Passover begins with four questions, and they are supposed to be asked by the youngest member of the family. And the first question is, why is this night not like any other night? Why? Children love that question, why? I'm not sure what age that kicks in, but at a certain age, maybe 3, maybe 4, they begin to realize that is a powerful question. Throw that question at an adult, and you'll get some conversation. Keep asking it, and you will eventually, well, you'll find their limit. And that's fun, too, if you're 3 or 4 or 5 or maybe even a little older. And sometimes they will drive us crazy. That question, why? But it is a wonderful question. And I was thinking to myself about all the whys of Christmas. Why do we decorate? Why do we decorate the way we do? Why do we decorate the church the way we do, when we do? Why do we decorate our houses? Each item has significance, and there's an answer, in most cases, to why we do it. Why do we have lessons and carols? Why do we sing the songs that we sing? Why do we do our lights the way we do them? Why do we give gifts? Why do we have food? Why do we put inflatable objects in our lawn? I'm not sure about that one, but sometimes you just get exasperated with the why questions, and maybe some of you parents have reached that point of exasperation already, and you just say, we just do it, that's why. It's what we do, it's who we are, and this is the way it is. And it's fun, right? And so we just leave it at that. But somehow, in all of this, we do feel some kind of inner obligation to make a connection with Jesus. And sometimes that connection can, well, the rope's pretty long between what we do and the Christ child. But we struggle to make some kind of connection to Jesus, to this baby that was born. But then that just raises another question. Why should we celebrate the birth of this child? And then there's some other questions as we dig deeper. Why did the communists try to suppress and abolish Christmas? Why did the Puritans, our Puritan ancestors, try to abolish Christmas? Why are the PC police trying to abolish Christmas? Why do they attack it relentlessly every year? Why do we fight for it? Why do we feel guilty when we allow materialism to overtake Christmas? I think we have a lurking fear that somehow we're going to lose Christmas. We may lose it to the ACLU, we may lose it to the multiculturalists, we may lose it to the Grinch, but somehow we feel that Christmas is in jeopardy and that it's something that we need to protect. But I want to suggest to you this morning that if we lose Christmas, it's not going to be from the outside. It's not going to be because of something that happens, some attack from the outside. It's not going to be from our failure to decorate. It's not going to be from a failure to say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays. It's not going to be from a failure to remind ourselves again and again that He is the reason for the season. If we lose Christmas, it's because God's people did not allow Jesus to do what He came to do. That's the heart of the whole thing. If we lose Christmas, it's because it's on us. It's because we did not allow Jesus to do what He came to do. Think about this. What are the odds of successfully outlawing a cure for cancer? A cure for heart disease? A cure for diabetes? What are the odds that you could successfully outlaw a cure for Alzheimer's? Or even for baldness, for goodness sake? Or for wrinkles? These are must-have things. If they existed, we would have them, and nothing could stop us from having them. Nothing could outlaw them. The Bible clearly says that Jesus came to save His people from their sins. He is Savior, and He is Lord. It says that what began in Mary's womb when she said that powerful yes, that baby that was born in Bethlehem, that grew up to be the prophet and the rabbi of Canaan, who gave Himself to explaining and demonstrating the life of the kingdom through miracle and through word, who ended up dying on the cross, who rose again, and who gave us the blessed Holy Spirit. He is the cure for all human problems. He is the cure for all broken human relationships. Our relationship with God, sadly broken. Our relationship with others, often very complicated. Our relationship with this world, this beautiful creation, tragically damaged. And even our relationship with ourselves. He is the cure. He is the Savior, comprehensively or not. The survival of Christmas is not going to be determined in the courts, but it is going to be determined in the lives of Christians. Does Jesus really save those who worship Him? Is He truly light and life? Does He truly bring us joy and peace? Why do we make our churches beautiful? And look around. I think this is one of the prettiest times for St. Peter's. We decorate St. Peter's and we want to make it beautiful. Why? It's because we believe that Jesus can make us beautiful from the inside out. Why do choirs sing in harmony so beautifully? Because we believe that Jesus can harmonize our lives. Internally, all the warring parts of us can be integrated, harmonized. And then He can take all the diversity of our gifts and perspectives and pull them together in a beautiful harmony. We believe that He is the Savior. We believe that He can do this. And I want to say to you that if Jesus is not essential to you, to us, then Christmas will eventually fall by the wayside. We're pragmatic people. We do what has to be done. We do what we need to do to reach our goals. We teach our children what we think they need to know in order to succeed. So I want to leave you with two questions. Is Jesus essential to what you want most in life? That's kind of a twofer, isn't it? Is Jesus essential to what you want most in life? Well, to answer that, you're going to have to first ask yourself, what's most important to me? And can I get there any other way but by Him? The second question, is anyone or anything other than Jesus at the center of your life? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.